Good morning, everyone. We'll get started this morning with just a couple announcements. Don't forget that when you come in case you're new here, we do have a bulletin. That bulletin tells you what's going on today, what's going on during the service, what songs we're going to sing. It tells you what's going on in the weeks and months ahead, and so you can kind of keep up to date on all those things. There's also a sheet out there that's a prayer sheet. It's talking about things where God has answered prayer, things people are praying for, things that we're thankful for. So you can grab one of those and use it throughout the week as well to remember to pray for family and friends in the church and others around the area, maybe missionaries. Helps you to kind of keep in touch with what is going on in the church and outside the greater world. One thing, there's a few reminders in here, but one that's important is Samaritan's Purse Christmas shoeboxes must be brought into the church next Sunday. So next Sunday is the last day to bring them in if you want to be taken to the distribution center. So next Sunday, have those into the church, and we'll take those shoeboxes, and they'll be shipped around the world. So it's pretty amazing. December 6th, if you want to put it on your calendar as well, is a piano recital. It's right here at our church, December 6th at 1 o'clock. And that'll be Christmas-themed music and also different music for that day. And we have quite a few kids from this church who play piano for that. And it's a great time and also a good opportunity to have people from outside the church come into our building and meet you guys. The last day for treasure seekers is November 21st, so keep that in prayer as well, as people are inviting kids to come to church. They're really loving children and showing them the grace of God and the mercy of God, and and teaching them how to be wise in the Lord. Don't forget, too, November 18th, the production of Aristocats Kids will be at 6 o'clock on November 18th. That'll be at the school in the large gym. And that's also a good opportunity to see some of the kids in town up on that stage. Are there any kids in our church that are in that? There we go. We got some. Okay. Okay. We got a lot. Okay. We got some kids that are going to be in that as well from our church. So that'll be fun as well. Any other announcements? I'll give one more. One more is just that, hey, if you're here today, and I've been making announcements that we're going to have fellowship dinner right after church, and you're like, I didn't bring anything, though. It doesn't matter. Just stay anyways. Almost every time, it's like 5 loaves and 2 fishes out there. It's crazy. You think there's not going to be enough food. All of a sudden, there's enough food, and it just keeps going, and people are taking stuff home sometimes. So if you came today, you didn't bring any food, we'd love to have you anyways. Come out back. I won't even eat if I have to, you know, and that's a struggle for me. But I'll give you my plate if I need to. Just stick around, chat with people, your brothers and sisters here, maybe someone you haven't seen before, and just enjoy your time together. Are there any other announcements that are not in the bulletin today? Any other announcements that need to be made? Okay, if not, let's pray together. Lord God, we just thank you for your work in our lives this week. We thank you for bringing us here this morning, for teaching us out of your word. We thank you for speaking to us through your word, telling us how we ought to live, who you are, how much you care for your children, how much you protect us on the daily in ways that we don't know. Help us to love your word, to obey it, to rest in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sins. And we just pray that we would love one another because you first loved us. Thank you for this chance to sing to you and to sing praises to you for all that you've done, for blessed assurance that you are ours. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to start with a song this morning, 403, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. 403, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. Song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, am happy and blessed, watching and waiting. This is my story, this is my song, praising my my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Keep your hymnal out and turn to 211. 211 is actually a scripture reading. It's from Romans 10, first 17 verses, but you'll find it as 211. And the way we're going to read this, the light print I'm going to read, and the bold print you as a congregation will read. So we'll alternate back and forth reading through the first part of Romans 10. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Together, for Moses
writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does not righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead.
But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Together? For
with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Together, and we'll be using that text in parallel to where we're preaching in Matthew 7 as we're reminded about the grace of God and the directions of God for our lives.
I forgot to make one announcement, but we had raised some money last month, about almost $4,000, to send out to missionaries, and some of them have started replying and just saying thank you. So I have one from the Einfeld family, where they said, the Christmas gift from your church for us came this evening in the mail. Thank you so much for your kind and generous gift. We're so blessed that you have thought of us this way, and we appreciate you so much. We pray for you all at the church regularly, and please, if you have any requests or news, we would love to pray knowledgeably. Again, our great thanks for your kind gift for us. May God grant you all a blessed Thanksgiving and Christmas season. In Jesus' love, Renee and Sonia Einfeld. So just a great word of thanks and glory to God for your generosity to them. We're going to sing together 404, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wound for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no for me that Jesus saved. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God. Salvation by thy Savior's name, salvation through his blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me.
Good morning. It's time for praise and prayer request. Yes, sir.
Wednesday mornings early, my dog woke me up that our house is on fire. Look, I have a boiler in your house with, and it caught the wood next to it on fire, which is against the house. And the guy across the street was on fire over with a little, like, bobcat.
Yep. Everybody else is okay. Praise the Lord.
I want to praise the Lord and thank you for all your prayers. When I was back in the hospital rejecting my liver, and they were able to get that all under control, came home for 3 days. And, still got some business to attend to. But other than that, feeling good, and I know it's because of all the prayers and everything, everybody, and support that everybody gives me. So I thank you all for that. I had asked for prayer for my brother-in-law, Bill.
Yep.
Had open heart surgery, and I'm very thankful to say he's doing quite well.
Anyone else? Yep. Yep. Anyone else?
I'm thankful for all the children here today. Thank I know it's always some praise about children with me, but it's just we're scrambling for different things in Sunday school, and that's a good thing to have a problem for, I guess. It was wonderful having all these kids here today.
With that kind of a prayer request, in the sense that we're trying to review the nursery and child care and other things with a lot of that. And so we're working on some different spaces, but at least temporarily over on this side in the back is a place where if somebody wanted to, if felt they needed to take the kids out, just be alone with them. You can still listen and hear over there. So there are some options besides the nursery itself, but we're trying to review that, and we're thankful for the children and want to minister to them the best way we can.
Absolutely.
Betty's sister in the hospital here on Wednesday evening. She wasn't doing well, but she is home here now. But she appreciates the prayer. The visit from anybody on the spot.
Anybody else? Yes, sir, David.
Just to keep my boss, John, her, he had back surgery on Veterans Day. I really want to follow the surgery, and then I want to be out of work for the next 3 months, which I'm going to be a struggle for this family. And a lot of headache for me, but we've got a lot of stuff going on at work. So,
guys, you and him. Anybody else? Mike? Have any other ones? Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we want to give thanks for allowing us to come together today to hear your word, be able to share it with the world and take it out there. We give thanks to God for protecting us. When things look like they are going to be a tragedy, you sending neighbors to help us, like in the case of the house fire, that they were only losing some small things and nobody was injured. I want to pray for, continue to thank you for prayers for Anita and have them keep coming in as she's going through her health. Thank you for bringing Bill through his surgery. Please continue to heal him as he's coming out the other side. We continue to pray for Ed Strine's health. Please look after him, hold him and his family in your hands. Thank you for all the children you've been able to bless our church with, and not just the children, but the families that bring them. Please continue to bless our church with these people and help them to hear your word. That goes hand in hand with the prayer request for childcare options and places that we can come up with and guidance for the teachers that are helping with these areas. I want to continue to pray for Betty's sister, her continued health. Please pray for David's boss, John, also, and ease his pain. And please look after David as he's helping to fill in the holes that will be vacated with him being out. We also want to pray for Austin, this young man, as he's going through medical testing. Please help the doctors with guidance and just help them to come up with solutions and help him to get back to an area in his life where will it be normal. Please help us to listen to the message we're about to hear, put in our daily lives, and share it with the people around us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together. In my soul, I hear the music ring, and though the storms may come, I am holding on to the rock I cling. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is of shouting your name. I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. I will lift my eyes in the darkest night, for I know my Savior lives, and I will walk with you, knowing you'll see me through, and sing the song you give. How can I keep from singing? Can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. I can sing in the troubled times, sing when I win. I can sing when I lose myself and I fall down again. I can sing 'cause you pick me up. Sing 'cause you're there. I can sing 'cause you hear me, Lord, when I call to you in prayer. I can sing with my last breath, sing, for I know that I'll sing with the angel and the saints around your throne. How can I keep from singing your praise? Can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? No, I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart. I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart. I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. Remember no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, He counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly roam. A Father so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Darkness new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was a payment, his life was a cost. We stood neath the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, whoever born. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Let's sing it again. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. And our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Who has held the oceans in his hands? Has numbered every grain of sand. Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Given counsel to the Lord, who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Upon his hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful man. God eternal, humble to the grave. Jesus, Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold more time. Behold, behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him.
Amen. You may be seated.
Our text is Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14. And as I think of today's passage and also think of the approach of Thanksgiving, it just kind of comes to my mind a reminder of a couple of choruses that we would sing as kings or as kids or even as adults. One is, do not let a day go by without thanking God. Thank him for the food we eat, for the bitter and the sweet. Do not let a day go by without thanking God, but most of all for Jesus. For life, through him, thank God. You remember that chorus? How many remember that chorus? Okay, so that's old enough. Some of them don't remember it at all. The other one, we often sing the chorus part after communion different times, but it's thank you, Lord. It's in the older hymnal. It says, some thank the Lord for friends and home, for mercies pure and sweet. But I would praise him for his grace. In prayer I would repeat, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Goes on to say, some thanking for the flowers that grow, some for the stars that shine. My heart is filled with joy and praise because I know he's mine. I trust him from day to day. I prove his saving grace. I'll sing this song of praise to him until I see his face. I still have tears. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. When I think of the grace of God, it just stirs my emotions, and I'm thankful for that reminder. We have been looking at Matthew 7, and in Matthew 7, we are thankful to God for a solid foundation for life. It's found in Jesus Christ and his word, and we looked at that at the end of Matthew 7 when Jesus says, the wise man is the one that builds his house on my word and my relationship with him. We are thankful for the open invitation that we have to come to him, to ask, to seek, and to find, because he provides for us enablement for everyday living in a God-honoring way. Today's passage in Matthew 7, 13, and 14 reminds us that God has provided and shown the way of eternal life. And so we read in this passage, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. The NIV uses the word road. I think the King James uses the word way to describe life's journey. Yeah. In this day and age, when you get ready to take a journey, you get in the car, what's the first thing you do? If you're making a long trip, by the way, not going to the local grocery store. GPS. And what do you do with a GPS? What's the first thing you do? You put in the destination. Where is it I want to go? Okay? So whether you use, you know, whatever method you use, Google Map, MapQuest, some of you are old enough, you have a road atlas. You highlight it. I'm one of those people, I always like to try to find the best way to get there. So I have road atlases that have like three or four different colors of showing routes to get there so I can try to come up with the best one. Because the ones they give you aren't always the shortest and the best. They're just the easiest.
You forgot the part about you have to argue with your wife or stop.
About where you're going or what you're going to do. About picking the destination, you mean? Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, there you go. So as you look at this passage, we're reminded of something here. You're on life's journey, and the journey is important. But more important in many ways than the journey itself is the destination. The destination is the key. And so when you look at this particular passage, notice the two destinations that are listed. It says the one way leads to destruction, and the other way leads to life. And it's making a picture that says to you there are really only two choices when it comes to your eternal destiny. We can word it many different ways, the way to heaven or the way to hell, the way to life or the way to destruction. But these verses set up a very clear distinction between the saved and the lost. And the way to life is on God's terms only. Every way but God's way leads to the same fate. And the passage emphasizes the necessity of choosing whether to follow God's way or not, and the fact that the choices are two, only two, and you will make a choice, even if it's just by default, not making any choice, you've already made a choice in that manner. See, contrary to what our world tells us, there are not many ways or roads to heaven. There's only one. There are not many good religions, but only one true faith. People cannot come to God in any way that they want themselves to devise, but only in the way that God himself provides. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me." In fact, his very name, if you start at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew that we've been looking at, the name Jesus, what's it mean? Why was he named Jesus? He's named Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And so here's the invitation and the challenge for you in that very first phrase. Enter through the narrow gate. See, even the little word enter defines a definite and specific action. The way I've entitled this message today is Choose Life. Okay. Now, why do I say that? It says, enter the narrow gate. When you read the rest of the passage, what's the narrow gate lead to?
Life.
It says, choose life. You're going to put in that destination, choose life. See, God's way of salvation is remarkably simple, but it is not easy. We must be willing to forsake our own way for his way. On the surface, this decision seems awful easy, doesn't it? If you're given the choice, but you're choosing destruction or life, what are you going to pick? Anybody in their right mind is going to choose life, right? But you notice in this passage what's involved in the process and why so many people do not choose life. See, people have many reasons for not choosing life. They might say, well, I don't believe there is any life after death. So I'm just, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I'm going to die. So the goal is to enjoy every moment I have now without any thought about destination. You might say, I don't believe there's any heaven or hell. One or the other. I don't believe there's only one way. That would be the most common thing put forward in our... There's many ways to God.
I don't believe anyone can really know the way for sure. But not choosing life, or by making no choice, is really the wrong choice, and it is the path that leads to destruction. See, the scripture makes quite clear that the truth is narrow and focused. Jesus said at the end of this chapter, verse 24, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is the wise man who built his house upon the rock." And what happens with that story? You either build on the rock or you don't. If you don't build on the rock, when the end comes and the storm comes, it's gone, it's destroyed. But if you build on the rock, it stands. So there's a line of basic truth and a reality check that goes with that line of truth. God is the final judge. That's why we have this don't judge others. Understand God's the final judge. But that doesn't mean there isn't a clear path of truth and a clear response and a way of choosing life. So in this passage, when Jesus calls the human family to seek the narrow gate of God's will for life, he has on one hand called us to a narrow and hard path. But he has called you to the best way and the only way of life. So after you enter in the destination, what's the next step in the process? What you're hoping that little gadget you have there or your phone or whatever you're using will do is give you what? It's going to give me directions. How to get there. Because that, you know, here's what you should do and here's what you can expect. Sometimes they give you too much information. And the other thing that they do, I don't know about yours, but mine always has that little warning that comes on when I'm going too fast and stuff. I've got one of those old ones, you know, warning, warning. And I probably need that warning, but there's a little reminders along the way. But directions. See, I am thankful that God not only invites us to enter that, but he tells us the way to life. We're not left in the dark. We're not left to wonder. In fact, and you read some of these contexts around here, it's going to make it very clear that these things are written so that you know that you have eternal life, that you can be confident of that relationship and your destination. So in this picture, the first thing you get is the main highway. Where's the main highway lead? It leads to destruction. You see it in there? "For wide is the gate, and broad is the road which leads to destruction, and many enter through it." The way that is broad is the easy, attractive, inclusive, indulgent, permissive, and self-oriented way that we all lean to. It's the way of the world. It's the popular, ready, available way. It's the way you're naturally going to go. And it's telling us we're all headed down that path initially. You know, people say, as I mentioned before, there are many ways to God. The scripture says the reality is there's many ways to destruction. There's only one way to God. Even phrases like, you know, we use the phrase often, be true to yourself. Now, there's a proper sense in what they intend with that sometimes. But to be true to yourself is a way of destruction. Because what are you by nature? You're a sinner by nature who is going to go down the wrong path and make the wrong choices. See, what you need to say, in essence, is be true to the God who created you as an individual person with unique and of great value and be able to act that way. Don't imitate other people. Don't think you have to be like everybody else. But be true to God, not to yourself. Because when you're true to God, you're really ultimately true to the self that you're intended to be. The Bible gives us clear direction to the path of life. But it's easy to overlook it or to miss it if we don't pay attention. You ever miss the path on that? You know, the things telling you where to turn and when to do next, and you get tired to listen to it, so you turn the sound off so you can just read the directions, and then you realize, oh, they're showing me this thing about turn around, you can't get there this way. And that's one of the things that the scriptures essentially challenging us with. Life is found by a deliberate and costly decision, not by following the crowd. Notice the other road. For lack of a better term, I call it the lonely road. Now, the good news is you're not traveling alone. And it's one of the reasons the scripture encourages you to be involved with other believers and to fellowship with one another and encourage one another, because that road is often a lonely road. We read Romans 10 at the beginning because it is one of the clearest statements of how to enter the narrow gate that leads to life. And whether you recall that passage or want to look at it, it's a little reminder. Paul says, the nation of Israel, like a lot of people in this world today, are an example of good people, well-intentioned people, religious people, moral people who are lost. It says, they have a zeal for God and the right thing, but it's not according to knowledge. What they have done is created their own way of self-righteousness, which is a fatal path. And you can see that description at the beginning of Romans 10 that we read. But it came to verses 8 to 10, and the message, Paul says, the message concerning faith we proclaim, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is the heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. See, the narrow gate is a life of total commitment to Jesus Christ and recognizing him as the only way to a right relationship with God and eternal life. And why is it a narrow way? 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The gospel message to so many people seems too simple. It's kind of a foolish thing. What's this idea of somebody dying? But you see the contrast they're putting in this passage? There are two gates, the narrow and the wide. There are two ways, the narrow and the broad. There are two destinations, life and destruction. And there are two groups of people. The one is the few and the other is the many. There's a contrast here that it wants you to get a hold of between God's righteousness or divine righteousness and human righteousness. Human righteousness appears in the end to be self-righteous and is, God describes it as filthy rags, if that's what we're really depending upon. There's a contrast between divine revelation and human religion, between divine truth and human falsehood, between trusting in God and trusting in himself. It's the contrast between God's grace, which is sufficient, and people's efforts or works, which are always insufficient. The person who enters the narrow gate must always enter alone. I think it's part of the picture of narrow. You don't ride your parents' shirt tails, anybody else's church tail, my family background, my church connections. I don't ride anything else if I'm going down that path. If I'm going down the narrow path, I'm going through that path alone. I have to respond in faith to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's that relationship with Jesus Christ which is our ultimate source of life and security. 1 John 5:11-12 says, he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It spells it out very clearly. And in fact, the verses before and after it, let me read those just because it helps fill out the picture a little fuller. 1 John 5, starting with verse 10. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony of God about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son have life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. I have confidence assurance based on God's testimony and his word and his direction. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. The next question is, can you follow directions? How good would you be if you didn't have your little GPS? It's always interesting. How many of you are directionally challenged? I have a daughter who could tell you, I couldn't go anywhere without this. Directionally challenged. So we're all directionally challenged when it comes to the way of life. What's the answer? I got to follow the directions that God gave. It's the only way to get there. Can you follow directions? The inevitable decision that every person must make, the most critical decision of all, is a decision about Jesus Christ. Who he is, what he has done. Is he God the Son who is our Savior that has died on the cross in our place that we might have life and have it abundantly? The way of life is narrow. It can be lonely. It's often costly. See, did your decision to come to Christ, or maybe even your decision not to come to Christ, is because it's too costly? I can remember my son, he traveled for quite a while as a traveling physical therapist that would go to different locations. And one of the guys that he worked with, he'd often get talking about scripture and gospel and that. And the guy eventually said to him, says, you know, I believe that's actually true. But if I made that choice, I'd have to change my life. And I'm not willing to do it at this point. The good news, by the way, is that young man came to know the Lord at a later point in his life. And we're thankful for that. But that's the challenge. Did your profession of faith in Christ cost you anything? True faith in Christ changes the life and produces fruit for God's glory. We're going to look at that more in the next week as we look on in the next part of this passage. But did my decision for Christ change anything in my life? So you can say some words and do a lot of things and walk a path, but if there isn't this commitment to Christ that shows the genuineness that produces fruit, then you're just going down the broad path, spouting all the right religious words and saying. You can know all the information without really being on the narrow path. A disciple must prepare to travel the narrow way of personal commitment and self-renunciation, just like you see Jesus Christ doing in his life. The narrow gate demands dependence on God. See, it's only by his grace, it's only by his call that I can respond in faith to walk that path. It requires I repent of my sin. I turn to God and acknowledge my need for a Savior. And without that, I can't come to him. I'll never be on that narrow way. But the repentant way is a changed way. It's a way of the cross. So I want to put before you somewhat boldly today that today, like most every day, you are facing a life and death decision. Have you chosen life? If you really chose life, then you've come to the point where you've recognized the narrow gate is through Jesus Christ and have accepted him as my Lord and Savior. If I have not done that, then I'm hoping I still have life, and I hope things go smooth, and I like where things are going in my life, but I'm really not on the narrow way. See, will I respond to God's invitation to choose life, or will I continue down the path that leads to destruction? The greatest danger is self-destruction and self-deception. See, I'm okay. We each have our own way, don't we? Majority of people think the way I do. Majority is always right, right? Every election day we decide the majority was right again this year, right? We're reminded so often in Scripture that just because there's lots of people going that way, it doesn't make it the right way. In fact, the right way is often the narrow way, the way where you have to stand alone, and that's certainly true when it comes to your eternal destiny. See, most people say, well, I'm a good person. Things will be work out for me. That's not the directions God gave. Can you follow directions? If you can't, you're headed down the road of destruction. See, Paul wrote in Romans 10, my desire for Israel is that they would be saved. And I can sincerely say to each one of you, my desire for you is that you would choose life and be saved. He said about those people, they were religiously zealous and self-righteous, good people, but lost and headed to destruction. They sought to establish their own righteousness, their own way to a right relationship with God. And what the Scripture makes clear is there is no such thing. There is only God's way. The way that He paid a great price for by sending His only Son, God the Son, to be our Savior and to provide that path of life. In that same Romans passage says, Christ is the culmination of the law so that there might be righteousness for everyone who believes. It says Christ lived a perfect, sinless life so he could die in your place and pay your penalty so you could have God's righteousness imputed to your account so that you might have life. Again, I say to you today, choose life. Choose Christ, the only way, the narrow way, the way of a disciplined disciple that is often a lonely way, where you have to be willing to stand alone, you have to really be committed to God, but it's all by God's grace in the first place that He's invited you to take that path, giving you the direction to go down that path, that your destination might be life. Life that is abundant and free through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words of hope and encouragement. There is life. There is a life eternal, a life you call us to respond in faith to your testimony about Christ and placing our faith in Him as our Lord and Savior. And Lord, so many things blur our vision and our way of looking at things, and we get confused. But help us to see your word with clarity and respond in faith and hope through Jesus Christ our Lord. In His name, amen.
We're going to sing, There is a Redeemer, 201. There is a Redeemer.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit. still the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank you.
So I do hope you'll stay for the fellowship luncheon. I'll do my announcements here so I don't have to flick the lights and get your attention out there. But if you have small children, you get to go first and help them through. Your 13-year-old brother is not a small child and does not need your help. It doesn't count. But if you have small children and need help, let them go through first. Find a table, preferably with someone you haven't got to spend much time with yet. Meet someone new. And I'll just pray right now for the meal, and then when you head in there, you can get comfortable and get in line. Lord God, we thank you for your provision today. We thank you for the food that you've provided. We just thank you for the ministry that you give to us between one another, our encouragement to one another, our conversations with one another, just blessing one another with our gifts and talents of this wonderful food. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Mm-hmm.